Okay, we are now with our race winner. That's Chase Briscoe. Chase, congratulations on the win today. Yeah, we'll get right to questions. And the first one comes from Daryl Kinsey. Go ahead, Daryl.
Chase, take us back to lap 68 that you feel the tire going down. How do you keep that car off the wall?
Yeah, it was, it was really surprising. I didn't have any warning of it or anything like that. I was going down this, the short chute after turn one, and all of a sudden it started pulling me to the infield, and I heard stuff hitting the crush panels and everything else, and I got up enough. I was, really worried. I was trying to get out of the way of the leaders. I was worried that I was going to spin out and come right up into them, and I was lucky that it kind of finally blew out on the exit of the tunnel turn instead of right in the middle of it. But, then really fortunate, too, that I was able to woe it up. I think I ended up probably 1 or 2 feet off the inside wall. So that would have definitely ended our day. And then, for the left rear to not get the crush panel completely knocked out was a huge blessing in disguise. So I definitely thought our race was, for the most part, over as far as winning. I knew we were probably going to be able to get back to the top five just because a lot of those good cars were tore up. But overall, it was pretty cool to come from the back and able to get the win.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question will come from Bob Hockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Chase, after your flat, it looked like a lot of cars kind of laid over for you. So once you saw where you were kind of restarting to that, once you saw you were somewhat close, did you have a little more hope?
Yeah, for sure. I think I got to end up restarting 10th or 12th in line. A lot of those guys were tore up, so they were letting people go by. And, the restart kind of worked out just perfect. I think by the first lap, I was already running or something like that. So, the biggest issue was the 21 and the 10 were kind of checked out. And I didn't know what they had tire-wise, but I was hoping they'd get to racing. And once they got to racing, I was able to catch them so fast and then was able to clear the 21 fairly quick. And then the 10 is obviously – he races really, really hard, which is, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And he kept kind of trying to sucker me into going to the bottom because that was my only opportunity, but I knew that put me in the worst situation. And, we were side drafting really hard and I was able to clear him once and I drove in so far into one, I missed the exit and he passed me back. So, that's the fun thing about coming to Pocono. You're kind of always playing chicken with each other, trying to get into the corner. And, I knew Ross wasn't going to lift and I wasn't going to lift and kind of the same thing on that last restart. But yeah, it's definitely, good for us that a lot of those good cars were tore up. And then as well as being able to restart somewhat in the mid-pack instead of starting dead last.
And did you cut the tire? Do you know what happened?
I don't know. I know Zippy said it looked like we just ran something over and cut it. I know there was definitely no warning. I went through turn one just fine. And I was about midway through the backstretch, and all of a sudden I thought I was going to spin out down the straightaway. So I don't know if I just hit something. I know there's a lot of debris all race long, kind of all over the place, just how many wrecks there were and how many cars were in every wreck. So, I'm sure I just hit something little and cut it. But, it was, really lucky to be able to come back from that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Our next question will come from Casey Campbell. Go ahead, Casey.
Thanks, Mike. Chase, just talk about that, getting through that big kind of carnage there. I don't know how to describe it. But what was it like getting through that?
Yeah, it was, crazy. I felt like that was the start right before that our car finally got to driving good. We started really bad. And, I knew I was going to kind of be in the mix finally, where before that I couldn't even really keep up with those guys. And, we all got stacked up off of one, and I saw the 9 getting kind of squirrely. I was hitting the 22 really hard trying to help him to get going, and we all checked up. And it was like 4 of us all hit each other at the same time. And cars just started wrecking left and right. It was like the movie Cars. It was like the C kind of split perfectly for me. The 22 was probably, an inch, if that, off my front bumper. It was so close. So it was just everything went our way today. Obviously, we still had the issues with speeding on pit road and the flat tire. But other than that, everything worked out perfect. Like I said, we were really bad at the beginning of the race. Felt like we were going to be lucky to even run 8th, and then a lot of those guys get tore up, and we make our car better, and we're able to drive back to the field.
All right. Thanks, Chase.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question will come from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Chase, congrats on the win. That obviously you spent a lot of time battling Ross Chastain there on that segment last run to the checkers. Once that caution came out again to set up overtime, how concerned were you that you weren't going to be able to fend him off again?
Yeah, I mean, I was certainly concerned just because I knew if the caution didn't come out, I was going to win the race. And anytime you have a restart, you never know what can happen. And, you know, I kept contemplating in my head what lane to choose for that final restart, because the seven is always, I feel like, the best pusher. And typically I always say if the seven's going to be on the inside or the outside, you go with that lane. And he was so damaged, I was worried about doing it. And, you know, I talked to my spotter to tell the 39 spotter just to push me as hard as he could. And we relayed that message. So that's what we did. And then, you know, I drove it in really hard into one, obviously, but Ross just being able to cut all that distance off, he threw a slide job on me. And I was tight that final run as it was. So I was worried about even being able to turn back under him. And then I knew from that run where I had caught him that his biggest struggle point was the tunnel turn. You know, even by himself, he was really sideways through there. So I just tried to use that to my advantage and you know, get really close to him without hitting him. And just put air on his spoiler and get him loose. And then obviously had a drive in deep enough into three that I could get away from him so he couldn't do the same thing back to me, just because these Xfinity cars, with how low a downforce they are, they're just a handful, you know, around other guys. If they're close to your door or close to your bumper. So I knew Ross was probably going to do the same thing back to me. So I just had a drive in deep enough to get away from him.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Our next question will come from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congrats, Chase.
Thank you, Jim.
You've had experience some success on road courses, but do you have any idea what to expect next week at Indianapolis?
Yeah, you know, I've been practicing on the simulator since February for the Indy race. It means the world to me to win there. And, you know, just with it being new, nobody knows what to expect. So we're trying to be the best we can be. And, you know, I go to the simulator every Wednesday. And every Wednesday I've been running at least an hour and a half to 2 hours at Indy, just trying to get prepared for the racetrack. And, I feel like I got a pretty good idea of where to make speed. It's hard to really say how much the simulator will correlate over to the real life thing, but I feel like I have a really good general idea of what to do, and I'm not going to be lost those first couple laps. You know, like I was standing here when Jeremy was talking, and I couldn't imagine going to a new racetrack, and not being able to at least practice. And, you know, when I was doing the ARCA stuff, I didn't have access to the simulator, but I at least had iRacing, and iRacing doesn't even have the same track that we're going to run. So I'm sure it's going to be really hard for those guys, but we've been practicing a lot for it. So I'm really looking forward to it. It'd mean the world to me to win an Indy, you know, growing up, going there all the time, growing up in Indiana. And then for me to be a diehard Tony Stewart fan growing up, to have Zippy on the box, to win an Indy would be, you know, one of the coolest things. So definitely have a lot of significance on that race, and hopefully we can get it done.
Thanks a lot, bud.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Your next question will come from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Chase, kind of along those same lines, when you look at Indy, a couple things. If, you know, for as important as it is to you, how do you control your emotions for that race, even for all the time and effort you've put into it? And secondly, because of the of being from that area, you know, you've won races so far with nobody in the crowd, but to win Indy with nobody there, how would that feel?
Yeah, it would, you know, I hate, first off, that there's not going to be fans at Indianapolis, just because, you know, when I go there, there's so many people that come from my hometown and from my area that don't get to see me race anywhere else. And, you know, just feeling the support every time I go there is so special. And, you know, last year in driver intros, when we were riding around on the trucks, I literally had tears in my eyes, just the amount of people that were standing up and clapping for me. So it would definitely, it wouldn't suck to win Indy without fans, but it would be bittersweet because none of my family would be there. You know, none of the fans that don't get to watch me anywhere else. I'm not going to turn away a win at Indy just because there's no fans, but you know, it is, you know, tough to go there and not have fans. And the same the following week at Kentucky. Kentucky's actually, you know, 5 or 6 miles closer to where I grew up than Indy is, but you know, to go 2 weeks back to back at my two home tracks and not have any fans is, you know, certainly tough. Obviously, we know the situation that we're in, and hopefully, we can have fans back soon. But yeah, it would definitely mean the world to win at both those racetracks. Maybe next year we can go back with fans and try to get a win again.
And also, just how do you handle the emotions, because you've invested already so much into it. I know for a racer, each race, the next race is always the most important, but this seems like this has obviously been the most important for a long time. How do you not let it become overwhelming in a sense?
Yeah, you know, I think a certain extent of that is not having fans will make it a little bit easier, just because emotionally, it'll be a little bit easier. I won't have as many distractions, you know, normally when I go to Indy, I would have a ton of appearances and everything else, and I'll be able to just go there and focus strictly on racing. So, you know, from that end, I think it'll maybe help a little bit just not having those emotions go along with it. But, you know, in the race car, once we get going, it's not going to be any different. I'm going to be focused on my job. And, you know, hopefully we can just keep bringing race cars like we have. You know, that's the big thing. And it'd be, like I said, it'd be a lot to me to win that race. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a race just like any of the other ones. They pay the same amount of points. So, you know, we're going there with the mentality just like it was today. So, you know, it might mean more to me personally, but, you know, I think we can keep those emotions in check and just go there and try to do our deal.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Chase, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the big win, and good luck next week at your home track.
Yeah, thank you. Also, I wanted to say High Point, this was their home racetrack, so it was really cool to get them a win. I was actually at the owner's house last night and stayed there and showed me all around, you know, his farm, and we went fishing and rode go-karts and everything else. So I wish they could be here to celebrate with us, because I know how much it means to them to be here at this race and on the car. And it was pretty special for me to be able to be with them all day yesterday and then get a win today.
Thank you, Chase.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, next one, we have crew chief Greg Zibidelli. If you have a question for Greg, please raise your hand on, and get to write your questions.